For those teaching others, steer clear of these discussions. People will come to you and they will have these discussions. Turn away from that and show them the Word of God. And if they don't want to hear that, then they don't want to hear it. Don't listen when it comes your way. Shun it. Avoid it graciously, kindly. Be a man or a woman of the Word of God.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you'll talk about an aspect of church life that's rarely, if ever, practiced.
You know, Dave, we're going to see today how we are to respond to those people who want to promote arguments or create factions within the church. And what we'll see in Titus chapter 3 has some very clear teaching on how we should handle such people. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn to Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 15.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
They're just general categories. He doesn't say specific people or doctrines. He gives some generalities here that kind of hit the gist of most of all these issues. The first thing we see is shunning foolish controversies. The word controversies here, zetesis, comes from the Greek word zeteo, which simply means to seek. And this word zetesis came to speak of philosophical inquiry or seeking. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, but in light of Scripture, in light of the purpose for Scripture, which is to obey that God may bring about the right benefit in the lives of those around that He has saved and those whom He is saving, in light of that, we do not come to Scripture just for philosophical debate. Scripture is not here for us to philosophize. It is here for us to obey. We see that in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children, that we may obey, he says at that point, these words of the law. Shun foolish controversies. This word often spoke of the conflict or controversy that came about in a debate, the exchanging of words, rather than a search for genuine faith. We see this word used in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read this for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if anyone advocates a different doctrine or a different teaching and doesn't agree with sound words of those of the Lord Jesus Christ or the doctrine performing to godliness, if anybody does this, and this is what Paul continues to do, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we'll see it today, he says, here's what their heart looks like. If they do this on the outside, here's the heart, which we can't see. He is conceited and understands nothing, but has a morbid interest in, here's our word, controversial questions. That's the word right there, translated controversial. And it's in parallel with disputes about words, which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose godliness is a means of great gain. These were the people who said, it's what you do that makes your gain, rather than Christ producing godliness in you for His glory. He says, shun these foolish controversies. We also see there to be refused. 2 Timothy 2:23. But refuse, we're going to see, it's the same word we'll see later on, reject. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Timothy, refuse this stuff. Titus, shun this stuff. It's a distraction from the Word of God, which is profitable. Refuse this stuff. And he qualifies this term controversies or speculations with the term foolish. And the word in Greek is moros. We get our word moron from this word. It means stupid. And it's always used in Greek in the context of a rebuke. Shun these stupid, moronic controversies. That's what God says about them. That is God's definition of all of this stuff. Titus, steer clear of this stuff. It's moronic. It's foolish. And we're going to see why, because ultimately they're not profitable in contrast to the Word of God, rightly declared and obeyed by His people. Well, secondly, we see he's also to shun genealogies, but shun foolish controversies and genealogies. Now, I'm not sure what genealogies he's speaking of here. There were extra-biblical genealogies. The Jews of the day put quite a weight into different genealogies of different people that were in their Jewish history, biblically or not. We certainly have the important genealogies in Matthew in the other gospel, but that I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. I believe they were propagating Jewish myths, which included genealogies, rather than the clear teaching of the Word of God. It was a sidetrack. It was a tantalizing path to go down to look into and investigate and inquire, but it's foolish. We see ultimately in 1 Timothy chapter 1 the warning concerning those men who think they know what they're teaching but do not. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, Paul tells Timothy, remain on in Ephesus in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than the furthering of the administration of God, which is by faith. We believe the Word by faith, and it produces God's ordained results. But these speculations and disputes and genealogies, whatever it might be, all they do ultimately is bring about mere speculation, and we'll see strife and all sorts of bad things. Titus, shun this stuff. Don't get caught up in this stuff, Titus. Leaders and elders and teachers, don't get caught up in this stuff. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked by these things which are not profitable. The unclear issues that can go down a myriad of directions, don't get sidetracked by them. Scripture is not a sport for us to play. Biblical issues are not sport for us. It is God's Word given to us to change us, that we might know Christ better. Okay, many people are in all sorts of facets of sport with the Word of God, whatever issues they might be, or issues about the Word of God. I can give you a million examples. Discussing about Lot's wife who became a pillar of salt. Was she a dead thing and you couldn't touch her because of the law? I mean, you could go down all these different things, right? That's just a silly example. It's not profitable, Titus. We have these things these days, right? We have genealogies. We have myths in the church. Books like The Shack. That's a myth, folks. That's a myth. That's not from God. Shun that stuff, Titus. But what else is Titus to shun? But shun foolish controversies and genealogies. And then he says, strife and disputes about the law. Strife, the word is eris. It speaks of contention or wrangling, quarrel, self-centered rivalry. You've seen that happen. Maybe you've been involved in that where you've felt strongly about a certain theological truth, or someone comes and starts to discuss a certain theology and there becomes this strife involved in the discussion. Shun that, Titus. Turn away from it. Produces strife. 1 Timothy 6 again, verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine that does not agree with the sound words of those of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has a morbid interest in controversial questions, that's our word, and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, and our word here, strife. You know it when you've got caught up in it. Sometimes in it, with a good intention, you want to steer someone the right direction because of these questions, but you get caught up in these discussions. Shun those things. Move on. Move away. Get away from those things. And lastly, he says, disputes about the law. This is the word that comes from the negation of the same word earlier we saw in chapter 3. We were told to be uncontentious. Amaches, not contentious. And here, he talks about shunning contentions about the law. Well, the law was good, right? The law is God's word, but there were those who were contentious about it, right? But the Lord's bondservant is not quarrelsome, right? Not to be contentious, but kind to all, able to teach, patient with wronged, with gentleness correcting those in opposition. And here's why. If perhaps God, not you, God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, being held captive to do his will. Don't contend with people. Now, yes, again, we contend earnestly for the faith against false teachers. Yes, we do. But we don't contend in these discussions. Shun this stuff, Titus. Don't get caught up. Don't get sidetracked in all this stuff, Titus. Teachers and elders and leaders, don't get caught up in all this stuff. It's the word of God spoken confidently and rightly, sound doctrine to those who believe, that produces those good and profitable things, not this stuff. And we're going to see why. We have the ultimate reason why to steer clear of these things. End of verse 9. But shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Here's what God says about this stuff. God says it's unprofitable. It's the negation of what we saw earlier about Scripture, which is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness. But this stuff is not profitable. It's unprofitable. It is not helpful. It is not beneficial. It does not yield advantageous results in the context of godliness and good works. Titus, avoid this stuff. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn from it too. Avoid this stuff. You need leaders in your churches who are avoiding these things and teaching the Word of God. There's all sorts of stuff these days on the radio that it has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's all this foolish stuff that people are arguing about all the time. Just turn it off and shun it and get into the Word of God. And Titus, you do this. Speak it confidently. Not only is it not profitable, he says it is worthless. The word speaks of useless, vain, worthless. When all is said and done and the debate or whatever it might be is done, it is all vanity. It is all gone. It's out there. It's vanity. It's worthless. Shun this stuff. Avoid it. No value. No value. In our pride, we think there is value because we think we could turn someone to the truth maybe in these discussions. He says, shun them. We're certainly tempted to get involved in these because we care for people. But we can't let our concern usurp God's care for us in His direct commands for us. Because God knows what is best for us and for His body. I believe everyone who teaches the Word of God is tempted to go in this direction. It does tantalize our flesh. It even has the appearance of something that might be profitable. Maybe the discussion, as I've shared, might be turned towards the right things. But it's not profitable. It's worthless. Steer clear. Don't play with fire. Avoid these things. There's no spiritual benefit. Titus, avoid these things. Folks, I tell you, for those here who are teaching others, steer clear of these discussions. People will come to you and they will have these discussions. Turn away from that and show them the Word of God. And if they don't want to hear that, then they don't want to hear it. Don't listen when it comes your way. Shun it. Avoid it graciously and kindly. Be a man or a woman of the Word of God, which alone is profitable. What about those here who are not teachers and not leaders? We need to recognize this, that these issues are worthless and not profitable. And in contrast, it's the Word of God that is profitable, and that your leaders and teachers should not be caught up in all this stuff. The ministries that you are involved in should not be caught up in all this stuff. I mean, there are whole ministries that are involved in checking out these types of controversies and stuff. Shun this stuff. Run away, lest you be caught up in it. Run away from theological debates which are void of a heart to submit to the Word of God. People just sporting with the Word of God, arguing and debating, disputing, without a heart to obey what is said. And I shared this already, but this is another reason why, and there's a few reasons why I don't focus on apologetic ministries that debate and discuss biblical issues rather than teach the Word of God. Shun these things. Steer clear. Turn off the radio shows that deal with endless issues that are not clearly spoken in Scripture. It's unprofitable. and worthless. It's the word of God that is profitable. So first of all, we see leaders are to steer clear of worthless, empty, unprofitable debates, discussions, and disputes. Now, secondly, we see the next command here, verse 10. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. First of all, we have another command to church leaders. It's directed to Titus, second person singular, not plural, not you all, but you, Titus. Reject, Titus, you reject. You could literally say it in Greek. You, singular, reject a factious man after a first and second warning. And there's the command. Reject. The word carries the idea of refusing or rejecting. We see the same word in Hebrews 12:25 when the writer of the book of Hebrews culminates, making the point that God is now speaking through His Son. And then in Hebrews 12:25, He says, "See to it that you do not refuse or reject Him who is speaking." The word is used twice in 1 and 2 Timothy. For the Apostle Paul to warn Timothy to have nothing to do with those things we saw earlier. 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's a bunch of stuff going on here. It says 1 Timothy 4, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. Here's how they do it. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:2, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. That's the heart God shows you that you can't see. And here's what they're doing. It doesn't sound that bad, but listen to it. Men who forbid marriage, that sounds familiar these days, advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified or set apart by the means of the word. God said it's good, and by prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you, he's speaking to Timothy, will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith, that's the word of God, and of sound doctrine which you have been following. And then he says in contrast, verse 7, but have nothing to do with, reject, same word, worldly fables fit only for old women. That's the kind of stuff we were talking about earlier. Reject it. Reject it. 2 Timothy 2:23, I read this earlier, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. Reject. Refuse. Titus now, reject a factious man after first and second warning. Titus is commanded here ultimately to have nothing to do with, to reject after two warnings. Now the term factious is actually a very interesting term. Certainly we can understand what it means in English, a faction creating a division, a group of people that may be pitting themselves against another group of people or against leadership, whatever it might be. It speaks of separation or division. And the factious man is the one who divides, creates factions. And this word is actually a very interesting word. It comes from the verb hareo. It's where we get our word heresy. Heresy. Heretics were those who took and twisted doctrine to pull people away, created factions and twisted doctrines. They were factious men. They were heretics.
Now, certainly this word heretikos, which is translated factious, includes those who have doctrinal error. But there are some that say that this is the only thing that it includes based on the verses before, 8 and 9. But if we look at the context, we have verse 8 and then a contrast in verse 9, and then we have a new portion being spoken of in 10 and 11. So certainly this word translated factious in its basic sense includes the idea of division and factiousness, which certainly could come through bad doctrine. But it's not semantically limited to that. Indeed, this word came to basically speak of factiousness or division in general. Back to our passage.
Titus, what is he to do with a factious man after two warnings, one and two, first and second warning, two warnings, that's it. Reject. Now this word warning should be familiar for some of you, and it will be familiar to all of you. The word is nuthateo. It's made out of two words, nous, which means mind, and thateo, which means to place or put. It speaks of admonishing or warning, putting something in the mind of someone. warning them. Titus, warn them. You are a factious man. You are going against the Lord God. You are sinning. God is going to discipline you. You are hurting people. Warning. And after two warnings, you will be rejected if you do not repent and respond. Admonish. Two warnings. It's serious stuff. Two warnings, and that's it. Well, do we just keep warning if it's a nice person? They're really nice. They talk about Jesus a lot. Talk about the gospel a lot, too. Should we give them more warnings? They'll come around someday, right? God says two warnings, and that's it. Why? We'll look at this in a minute. Knowing, verse 11, that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. That's serious stuff. A perverted sinner, self-condemned, creating factions. Not good. Well, this leads to the question, is this Matthew 18, which he is talking about here? We have the clear commands in Scripture in Matthew 18 concerning God's great love for His church. He loves them so much He would send out His body to bring about the restoration of those who are in sin. He seeks after and searches after those which are lost. Just going to briefly read Matthew chapter 18. We have Jesus sharing ultimately the value of His sheep. Don't stumble on them. You're better than a millstone be hung around your neck. Those little ones who believe in Me, they're believers. And then He says in verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. I don't believe in context He's speaking of the lost. He's speaking of those who are straying. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? It's a straying sheep, right? Does not he leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? And if it turns out that he finds it, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have not gone astray. Thus it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him. This is Matthew 18. If you've got a brother continually, habitually in sin, you're to go convict them. And what reproves? It's the Word of God. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother. That's what you want. Someone who just says, whoa, I've been sinning. And confesses it. Praise God. That's the goal.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in your message today, you made an interesting distinction between how to handle a factious person and how to handle a brother or sister who is sinning.
You know, Dave, the way we address those who are in sin versus those who are in sin in the context of factiousness is very different in the body of Christ. Indeed, the process of Matthew 18 has the body of Christ involved on every level. But yet, when you look at the process of dealing with a factious man, there is a shunning or a casting out after a first and second warning. And why is that? Because they are perverted and sinning. They are determined to cause factions within the body of Christ. And I see God's wisdom in this, because if we were to bring them before the church, that would give them another opportunity to create more factiousness. So as we've seen today, when there are those who are factious in the body, godly leadership should admonish them. And if they don't respond, admonish them again. And at that point, if they're unwilling to repent, we should have nothing to do with them. And that includes the whole church. Now, does that mean we don't pray for them or we're not concerned? Absolutely, we pray for them. But yet, for the protection of the body of Christ, we're to have nothing to do with them. Brothers and sisters, this is a very important passage that has principles that I think the body of Christ has woefully ignored to its own detriment. Are you willing to support your leaders? when they step out in faith and obey God's word. I pray that you do.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.